One of the very first Bible studies that I remember as a kid was on the tongue. I was at a boys' brigade. I would have been in about year 4 or 5. And there were a bunch of us, 10 or 11 year olds, sitting in a circle. And the person leading the study took a tube of toothpaste. And then he squeezed it out all over a paper plate. And then he says to us, put the toothpaste back in the tube. Now, I'm sure you can imagine us, a bunch of 11-year-old boys, trying to pick up the toothpaste and shove it back in the tube. We were about as successful as you can imagine. And then the guy leading the study said to us, your words can be like that toothpaste. Once you say something, it's out, and you can't put it back inside. Now, as it is with old memories, I can't remember the rest of what he said. We may have read James 3, 1 to 12, or maybe one of the other passages about the tongues, but maybe a proverb about the tongue. But the illustration stuck with me. It shows the power and danger of our words, doesn't it? What we say can do great damage. If we haven't tamed the tongue, it can cause great harm. Once they're said, our words can't be taken back. And so as we look at James 3 this morning, this is the question being asked of us. Have you tamed your tongue? Do you speak and live as disciples of Jesus? Or do your thoughts and words sound no different to the world? Do you speak holy, righteous words or selfish, sinful words? Have you tamed your tongue? And the related question is the how. How do we tame the tongue? Well, let's have a look at James 3, 1 to 12, and see what James says. So firstly, to understand why we should bother, James wants us to understand why we should bother. Why should you tame the tongue? Well, James says it has complete control over your lives. This is the first point in the outline in verses 2 to 5a. Want a godly life, James asks? Want the key to holy living? Well, it's the tongue. Don't be deceived by its size. Although it's small, the tongue is very influential. What we say can and will have a significant impact on how we live our life. Think about a few things that are small, but have complete control over large things. James says, look at the bit of a horse in verse 3, or the rudder of a ship in verse 4. Both are small, yet both control the entire direction of the horse and the ship. For us, this is the tongue. The tongue controls our lives. Now, it's important that we understand what James means by the tongue here, because it's much more than just what actually comes out of our mouth. Every thought we have, every idea we conceive, comes to our minds in words. The tongue, it's our thoughts, which drives our words, which leads to our actions. Just as the rudder keeps the ship on course during a storm, so the tongue can keep us on course through the challenges of life. When life is unfair, you can either speak words of resentment to yourself, all words of encouragement of God's goodness. You can tell yourself how hard done by you are, or you can remind yourself that even when it doesn't feel like it, that God is gracious. When confronted with something you desire, you can either speak words of lust to yourself, or you can remind yourself that you already have everything you need in Christ. What we say to ourselves, both silent and out loud, will drive our actions. Your tongue controls you through the storms of life. It's the key to godliness. If we control our tongues, James says, we will control our whole bodies. One of the commentators I read says it even better than I can. He says this. He says, but if our tongue was so self-controlled that it refused to formulate words of self-pity, the images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things are cut down before they have a chance to live. The master switch has deprived them of the power to switch on that side of our lives. The control of the tongue is more than evidence of spiritual maturity. It's the means to it. And in case you're not convinced, James then shows us what happens when things go wrong. He shows us the destructive power of the tongue. This is the second point, verses 5 to 6. Let's read those verses again. James says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." All it takes is a spark to start a bushfire. And we all know too well right now the devastating impact that a small spark can have. All we need to do is look at the news. Bushfires, businesses, properties, homes destroyed, livelihoods ruined, memories gone. All because of a small spark. In fact, a few years ago, scientists did some research into the causes of bushfires in Australia, and they found that just under half were caused by an accidental spark. A cigarette butt out a car window, or from a campfire, or maybe a spark from machinery or power lines. Something as small as a spark starts a bushfire. Something the size of a speck of dust starts something that in some cases destroys thousands of hectares of lands, hundreds of livestock homes, and in the worst cases, lives. In the same way, James says, our small tongues are a fire. They can set on fire our entire lives. If we don't control it, our thoughts and our words will run amok, causing great damage to us and to those around us. The words of lust, the words of anger, the words of jealousy, all the sinful words that we say to ourselves will become louder and louder until we act on them. James even goes so far to say that the tongue is set on fire by hell. It's the instrument of Satan to destroy our lives. So, we can see the benefit to taming the tongue. It's the key to godliness, and we can see the danger in not taming the tongue. It will destroy our lives. But how do we tame it? Well, we can't. That's what James says in verses 7 and 8. We can tame every kind of creature, but not the tongue. Man has tamed all the creatures on the planet. Man has mastered science and engineering and so many other things. But we cannot master our tongues. It sounds ridiculous when you say it like that, doesn't it? But yet we know it's true. Our tongues are a restless evil, always waiting to break out and say something savage. I'm sure that you can think of a time when you lashed out. You didn't even know why you said it, yet you did. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What we say can do immeasurable harm to other people. And James has a specific evil, a precise poison in mind: the double-mindedness of our tongue. This is the fourth point, verses 9 to 12. With the tongue we bless God and curse others. With the same mouth I come here to church and I sing my heart out, and then I mutter under my breath, I complain on the way home. With the same mouth I go to Bible study and try to encourage people, I try to say all these wise things, and then I come home and snap at my wife. It's just not right, James says. This should not be. This should not be. And again, the ever-practical James gives us an illustration to understand this. He's done all my work for me. James points to a spring. He says a spring doesn't produce both fresh water and bitter water. It either produces fresh water or bitter water, not both. A fig tree produces olives, not figs. A grapevine produces grapes, not figs. Do you see James's point? What comes out depends on who we are. What you say is a reflection of what's inside. If you're a freshwater spring, then you produce fresh water. But if you're a spring of bitter water, then that's what comes out. The occasional blessing, the odd nice word, doesn't change that. What we say comes from who we are. So, at the end of verse 12, where does James leave us? He's calling us to tame the tongue. Why? Well, it controls our lives. If we tame the tongue, if we do not stumble in what we say, we can bridle our whole body. But the human tongue is evil. It's a world of unrighteousness. It stains, it corrupts our whole body. It's full of the deadly poison of inconsistency, praising God and cursing others. No one can tame it, James says. By ourselves, there's nothing we can do. Mankind cannot tame his tongue. And if we're going to do the impossible, if we're going to tame the tongue, we need to get this. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison, and by yourselves, there's nothing you can do about it. The answer to taming the tongue isn't discipline. It's not the latest self-help book. It's not watching your tongue. Your tongue is untamable. So again, how do we do it? How do we tame the tongue? Well, James doesn't clearly answer that in these verses, but he's given us a hint. He's told us where to look. Did you see it? Did you see the hint? Fresh water springs produce fresh water, not salt water. Fig trees produce figs, not olives. James is saying that what comes out depends on what's inside. In the same way, our tongues draw from what's inside us, and that's our heart. Why is the tongue so evil? It's because our hearts are evil and set against God. If you've got a problem with your speech, you've got a problem with your heart. In Matthew 12, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." Our speech, what we think and say, reveals who we are. In the case of the Pharisees, it revealed clearly who they were. They were evil. They weren't genuinely seeking the kingdom of God. They were evil at heart. They rejected all that Jesus said and did. So what about you? What does your tongue say about you? I want you to think about your words, what you think and say. What do you say to your wife or husband? What do you say to your kids? What do you say to yourself? Because your tongue is a thermometer of your heart. It reveals the temperature of your heart. What do you say to yourself when you see the good-looking girl at the office or on TV? What do you say when you hear the coarse joke? What comes to mind after the long day at work and there's 100 things to do at home? What do you say when that person you don't like comes up in conversation or on the news? What does your tongue say about you? This matters. James has been really clear. The tongue poisons our whole body. We can't ignore what we say. We can't ignore what we say out loud. We can't ignore what we say to ourselves. Please don't think that it doesn't matter what you say, that it's all about what you do. What we say matters. Jesus' very next words to the Pharisees, back in Matthew 12, are, Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You will be judged by your words. Every careless word you think or speak will be judged. The harsh quip to the kids, the lustful words only you can hear, what you mutter under your breath about politicians or anyone else. James is right, isn't he? The tongue is a raging fire that sets on fire our whole lives. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison, and we will be judged for it. Every word you say will be judged. So how do we tame the tongue? Based on what James says, based on everything we've read this morning, it's impossible. Well, impossible for us. By ourselves, there's nothing we can do. The secret to taming the tongue isn't in the tongue at all, and it's not in us. To tame the tongue, we need a new heart. To tame the tongue, we need a new heart. And that's something only God can do. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we want to tame the tongue, we need a new heart. The tongue is full of poison because the human heart is broken. Ezekiel described it as a heart of stone. It doesn't love God or others like it should. Our hearts are hard, stubborn, proud. And that's why the tongue is so evil. The tongue isn't the problem, it's a symptom. The problem is our proud, stubborn, foolish hearts. But here's the good news. Through the gospel, God gives us a new heart. God gives his people a new heart, a heart of flesh, soft hearts, a heart that can love God, a heart that can love others. And with this heart, you can tame the tongue. If you're a Christian, if you've repented of your sins, if you put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a new heart. God's done the surgery. You have a heart of flesh. You have God's spirit within you. And so you can tame the tongue. By yourself, it's untamable. But with a new heart, with a heart of flesh, you can tame it. To use some big words here, taming the tongue is a matter of both regeneration and sanctification. To tame the tongue, you need to be regenerated. You need to have a new heart. And with the new heart, you can control the words that you say to yourself and to others. But you still need to do it. It doesn't just happen automatically. It's not like a switch. In God's strength, you need to work at it and work hard at it. Now, I know you'll never be perfect. This side of heaven will always be dragged down by our old, selfish, sinful nature. But you can make real progress. If this morning you can see that your tongue is godly, if you are taming your tongue, then praise God. That's his work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. As James says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If this is you, if you can honestly say to yourself that you're taming your tongue, then keep going. Don't take your foot off the pedal. Heed James's warning. The tongue can do so much damage. Keep it under control. But maybe the temperature of your heart this morning isn't great. Maybe this morning your tongue is telling you that your heart is cold. Is this you? Are you the first one with a cruel reply? Do you have jealous, selfish words bouncing around in your head? Then this is a great opportunity to repent. Come before God and acknowledge the sin of your tongue. Say sorry. And as a Christian, you have the wonderful promise of God's forgiveness. The Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're not taming your tongue right now, then take this opportunity to repent, knowing that God will forgive you. Ask God to continue his work in your heart, to renew it, to make it clean. and know that this takes time. Your tongue won't change overnight, but with the work of the Spirit and through your work, you can make real progress. The comments under your breath, the words spoken in jealousy, the backhanded compliment, you're not bound to them. You have a new heart. You can speak in love and patience. And if you're not a Christian this morning, then I hope that you can see the evidence of your heart of stone. You speak from the heart. You may think of yourself as a good person, but is your tongue really good all the time? I hope that you can see that your heart is hard, stubborn, rebellious. And I hope that you can see God's promise of a new heart. Let me read to you what Ezekiel says in full. Ezekiel said, God said to Ezekiel, I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. These words can be for you as well. If you're not a Christian, through repenting, through turning to Jesus and trusting in him, he will give you a new heart. And from that, you can tame the tongue. Without a new heart, without regeneration, you've got no hope. But once you have a new heart, through the Spirit's work, you can tame your tongue. Now, just before we finish, let's think quickly about what it looks like to have a tamed tongue. It's about controlling our thoughts and words. But what I want to point out is that it's not just about what we don't think and say, it's also about what we do say. In Colossians 3, Paul tells us that we need to speak kind words to each other, that we need to speak forgiving words, that we need to speak humble words, loving words, peaceful words, that we need to teach and admonish each other with our words, that all our words should honour Jesus. This is not just about us. Taming the tongue is about how we live as God's people, in our own families and in our church family, because what we say is crucial to building up the body of Christ. And this will be hard. There are times that we don't want to be kind, that we don't want to be humble, that we don't want to be patient or forgiving. There are times where we want to give people a taste of their own medicine, that we want to put someone in their place, give them a piece of our mind. But this is what it means to tame the tongue, to bear with one another in love. Maybe you passed the first checklist with flying colours. Maybe you've tamed your own thoughts and speech. And that's great. But how well do you measure up to what Paul says in Colossians 3? The last time you were wronged at church, did you speak forgiving words? Do you speak humble words to yourself and others? Does your speech produce patience? Do you teach and admonish other people in all wisdom? Because all of this takes being intentional. I know that I have a long way to go. I know that you have a long way to go. I know that all the churches in Brisbane have a long way to go. But this is what we should look like. We need to tame the tongue to live out the Christian life. So the tongue. It has great control and destructive power. By itself, it's untamable. But, friends, you have a new heart. You have God's Spirit within you, so you can tame it. You can control your thoughts and words, which is the key to godliness in all we do. And you can use your tongue to build up and encourage each other here at KPC. Let's be people who have tamed the tongue. Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us a new heart. Thank you that you have given us hearts of flesh, soft hearts, that can love you and love others. From these new hearts, may we tame our tongues. May our tongues guide us in godliness. May they not let sinful thoughts and words even enter our minds. And may our tongues be building up the body of Christ here at KPC. Please strengthen us through your Spirit to tame our tongues. We ask for this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.